Hello and welcome to Como Estas. It's November 6th. It's 12:51 a.m. according to my phone. Not my phone, my computer. It's 7 seconds into the podcast and I'm already screwing up. So that's a good sign. I am here with Rob Viper.
Hey guys, how's it going?
I'm here with a microphone that doesn't want to point in a great direction, but we're going to go just roll with it right now. And
it's such a big piece of, it's like a globe shaped.
Yes.
How can it not be catching what we're saying?
I'm sure it just made some great noises as I moved around, because I can see Audacity. I can see the meter go up and down. He's very into this podcast as he's looking at the same thing he's posting onto Twitter about four times. We are here in Monterey for at least another 24 to 36 hours.
Not even 36. Just over 24, I would say.
Yeah. Because we've gone to a couple shows this weekend. We went to Wright on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Crash at Gymnasio Nuevo Leon United. Unido. Yeah, my Spanish is coming along great.
Which we found out is not the same Gimnasio Nuevo León that most people would know from those old videos that Alfredo Esparza used to get.
Did you not listen to the Revolutual promo where he insisted there was air conditioning and great parking? Which there was.
I thought they just renovated the old Gimnasio Nuevo León, but it turns out, that's going to be good for the audio.
Yes, the air conditioning kicks in very loud for 10 seconds and then disappears. So just stroll. See, it's already going down. We'll see. Hotel's nice otherwise, but
hotel's maybe too nice for us.
Yeah, it's a squirts. There's a mystery stop to go in the bathroom for some reason, which is going to wipe us out.
If we don't survive tonight, then that's why. It's because one of us killed ourselves trying to wake up in the middle of the night to go take a piss and trip over that stuff.
You know what the other mistake I made in there is getting out of the shower, I stubbed my foot on the doorstop because that's in the weird spot.
Oh, I didn't see that. I avoided that.
I'm sure you wanted to hear about the showers. So the Wright show was good. The Crash show was good. So far, our trip has worked out pretty well as far as what we've got to see.
Yeah, our first time in Monterey.
Yeah.
You flew direct from where you live.
Yeah.
Where nobody would ever know, even though you named yourself the Cubs fan.
Yeah.
And I flew from Toronto to Mexico City and then to Monterey. And it's very nice. I was a little annoyed when I showed up and there was no sun. But the sun showed up eventually, and it was really hot today.
Yeah, it's weird because I don't know how warm it was where you were, but it was 40s for most of the week. We're in a mysterious location where I live, and it's twice the temperature here in Monterey this weekend.
We don't do those numbers where I live. Yeah. Where I live, it was 8 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
So no snow, but it was really cold.
Yeah. I had snow last week. I'm still frightened about it.
Damn.
I stood outside, watched little kids play a soccer game very badly. This weekend's going a little better.
Well, Phoenix went through the same thing as you, because Phoenix was where you were.
Yeah.
And then ended up coming here today.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about the Wright show.
Let's see if we remember anything.
We went to Arena Femenil for the first time, which is in walking distance from our hotel. We found, because we actually walked there.
Yeah, really sweet, because in Mexico City, we've stayed at two different hotels, and neither of the hotels were in any walking distance of any of the arenas, Arena Mexico.
Arena Mexico is maybe like 10-15 minute drive, but it's still a 10-15 minute drive. There's no way we could really walk.
We could walk if we wanted to, but I mean, what's the point if you could hop on the metro and go one stop and be there?
Yeah. But here it seems like, because it was Arena Femenil is close to the area we're staying, and what was the gym, Factories Mutos, which is apparently in the area too, not far away.
Yes. You wouldn't even be able to tell, though, that like the Arena Femenil was an arena. It's just like when Fredo was pointing it out to us. Fredo, by the way, is Alfredo, our friend, who's hopefully going to be on the podcast tomorrow and is the promoter of Riot.
Yeah.
He's like, there it is. And I'm like, where it is? Mm-hmm. It's just like a nondescript building with a big black door.
It's a former parking garage that doesn't need to be a parking garage, because they have actual air parking garage. But where they would have stuck about 8 to 12 cars is now where they have a ring and seats and a balcony to watch parts of the show from.
Adam Lash might be listening to this and just drooling. That's like his dream wrestling environment.
Yes.
There's a ceiling, but there's no, like,
the ceiling is new, because the ceiling wasn't there originally, because because it's Monterey, so you don't really worry about the weather all that much.
But you can see, like, it's fresh open air, like, where you would expect windows to be on the sides or whatever. So it's just, like, a whole gap, and if it rains, they said that if it rains, the water will leak into the building.
Yeah, if there was any sort of wind, it would kind of come, it would come in, so you have plenty of opening.
And this building had back-to-back shows, because there was an LLF show the night before, the women's event.
Yes, that I know you were crushed to have missed out on. But we saw the Riot show, which has a different ring than the LLF show, is one of the things we learned. But
because the LLF show, the LLF ring apparently is, and I quote, a piece of shit.
Yes. But I'm sure it has just great character anyway. I'm sure it has a lot of experiences. It's probably been there for the existence of the building. So the Riot show, we saw about six matches.
Exactly six matches, yes.
I was going to say maybe six and a half, maybe five and three quarters.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Six and a quarter would be more appropriate.
Yeah. The opener was...
Well, first of all, we were excited to see this show because we were going to see a lot of people, and a lot of people knew about us. Mr. Iguana for the first time.
Knew about you.
No, they knew about us. Mr. Iguana. Of course, Senor Black Terry was here. You know, we see him a lot, but this is the first time outside Mexico City.
Yeah.
And of course, Ray Horace, Ultimo Ninja. It was a pretty
the Indie Strongables.
Indie Strongables, yes. Crazy man known as Lowrider.
Yes.
Who we met earlier in the day.
Who
is definitely crazy.
Yes. You know, I thought weed was supposed to calm you down.
he's the one guy who's like bouncing off the walls.
Yes.
We're not even saying this out of turn. I mean, his outfit says on it, green team.
Yes.
So he's not hiding
it. His shirt was like, the shirt he had a fan wearing who was carrying him around was like King of 420 style or something.
We never even got to ask him, though, why his, I mean, we'll get to this during his match, obviously, but his outfit had like, it was kind of like the horn. There were two horns on one side.
Oh, I asked Aries. Aries is... has the matching side.
Aries has the other half?
Yes.
Okay, because otherwise it made no sense why he only had the design on one side. That makes sense now. Okay, so they're Team 420.
And maybe I asked Alfredo. I asked somebody. But yeah, they're matching outfits. Because Aries wore his green team gear on the show today.
Oh, so I guess they probably wore this when they teamed for the Martinez.
Yes, that's where they Lucha Brothers. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. See, all the pieces fit together when you get our two brains working.
Yeah. So, the opener was... Was it the Mr. Iguana match?
Yep.
Yeah, Mr. Iguana, Muerte Extrema, and...
Azrael. Not the same guy from Wildside, and not the Special K guy.
No.
This is a new Azrael.
No.
Yeah. Our first time seeing all three of these guys.
Yes.
Live,
and
obviously.
In the first 30 seconds, it seemed like we had a big tope.
Yeah.
And then we had Mr. Iguana doing a Brillo Dorada off the referee's back.
Brillo Iguana. Actually, I should give you the correct name. He made sure that I would mention what the real name is. So you talk about the match while I look up the name.
Iguana was also a match. He plays his character well, and he plays his character the whole time, where he's crawling around like an iguana, where he's sticking his tongue out. The crowd really took to him right away. I think the big dive helped, but I think also staying in his personality, doing all the gimmick stuff, really worked well. I thought the two rules were really good basis for him.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he had a lot of complicated stuff, especially did early, and it all came off really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think in front of people who may have known the name or may not even known the name, I think he really made a strong impression.
Yeah, they were... I think also his entrance, because he actually crawls around like an iguana, the people got really into that, and he plays the actual gimmick, which is cool. Because... Usually on the indies here in Mexico, nobody's really playing a gimmick. They're just there to do.
Yeah, everyone has names that sound like they're going to be a big deal, but then they just play the same guy with a mask. And
pretty much,
yeah.
But he did really good. Oh wait, hold on, I've got the name. It's the Catrín Dorado.
Okay.
According to him,
well,
because
the
referee
is Catrín.
Named Catrín, so he did it off his back, and he did it off his lower back, which is like you would think. It's safer to step on his actual back, and he just stepped off his lower back. That could have really been bad.
Yeah. And it's not like he brought the ref with him to possess a traveling spot.
Right, yeah.
This was just the ref who happened to be there who helped them out.
It was actually really good. I would put it as probably my second favorite match of the night. Maybe third? No. Probably second.
Yeah.
Favorite match of the night. And the finish was only kind of a bummer because I think the crowd wanted Iguana to win because...
Yeah.
He was way more over than the other guys. But he got a very traditional Mexican chant of please come back in English.
It's a very U.S.-influenced crowd
for
his Riot shows. Because you get the English version of some chants because people have seen those chants on videos, I'm sure, for years and years.
Mm-hmm. It's just weird that they wouldn't convert it into Spanish. It would be like, por favor, regreso.
They want to be an authentic indie crowd, so they had to do the U.S. chants.
And it was a good crowd. It was a pretty packed building for the size that building is. Like, they packed it.
When they put out all the seats, it seemed like a lot of seats, but they filled up all those seats.
And they brought in the VIP seats.
Yeah.
Because the regular seats that they use for LLF are the
plastic lawn chairs.
Right. And we got the what do you call them?
Metal kind of stuff, whip backs. Kind of the same chairs they had at the Crash show, like literally the same chairs.
Like if you're watching in a ballroom, let's say, they would set up those type of chairs.
Yeah, they were not folding chairs, but they were.
And then in the main event, I remember because Ninja picked one up to hit Horace, but he picked up one of the lawn chairs.
Yeah,
and he swung so hard, but it's a lawn chair, so it just tapped Ray Horace and the crowd booed. But I'm going out of order again. Second match was
Eric Ortiz, because I called him the wrong name, versus
Eddie Ortiz.
Yes, I don't know. I don't know. Eric Ortiz, and then who's the other two people in the
Lord
match?
Byron.
Lord Byron.
And why are we slipping on the third guy? See, this is why we bring notes.
This is why I should have just...
I want to say Cayentai, because we were talking about Cayentai today, but it wasn't Cayentai.
No, Cayentai wasn't on the show.
It was Byron, Ortiz, and...
It was the other guy from Monterey, but that doesn't really narrow it down at all.
That doesn't narrow it down. See, we didn't... We didn't do any planning.
No, we didn't do any notes. We just hit the stuff.
And it's all like jumbling together.
It's Fuhrer.
Fuhrer, right.
Yeah.
Fuhrer.
Yes.
Oh, because he had ERLL on his tights.
Yes.
Representing the ERLL promotion that nobody knows about.
Yeah. I'm sure plenty of people in that crowd knows about.
That crowd, yeah. But, I mean, on this podcast is what I'm referring to. Like, listening, nobody would know what... I assume, if you know what ERLL is, let us know.
Yeah. The people, they're like, if anyone's going to listen to a podcast that talks about... And those ERL, they're probably going to listen to this podcast.
That's true. This match was, you know, I kept joking with Cubs because now we're on our second three-way match. I'm waiting for the generic indie sweep my leg, don't kip up, arm drag, everybody, you know, at the same time. And neither of these matches did it, which really surprised me.
Yeah.
This match actually started with a botched spot where Eric Ortiz was supposed to lift Fuhrer, I believe, into like a head scissors.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get it done. So what do you do when you blow the first spot of the match? Well, two guys go to the floor and Byron did a crazy tope over the top onto them, and everybody forgot that blown spot happened until I mentioned it now. But
there were a lot of over top topes, I think, on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not through the ropes, people doing like the Superman dive.
Well, they were here to impress Rob Viper because he's going to be gifting everything. I'm sorry, Lucha gifts.
Yeah, that's really sad for everyone involved.
This was like the match where like they did a lot of spots. There was a sharpshooter around the post in front of us at one point. I remember laughing about that because I just didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah.
Not that there was anything wrong with it. And they did a lot of spots where guys would be in submissions in the ring and then each guy would go to the top rope and break it with like a swanton or a splash or something.
Mm-hmm.
I like that sequence. I like those sequences a lot. I thought Ortiz was good. He did a like an Atlantida and turned it into like a go to sleep.
Yeah.
This three-way was actually elimination. The first one was just first pinfall.
Yeah.
So this one, they had the first elimination, which I believe was Fuhrer. Went out first.
No, I thought Fuhrer won the match.
Fuhrer won the match? I know Ortiz went out first. That's right. And then Fuhrer was left with Byron.
Yeah.
And he beat him. He beat him with... Oh, I wish I could remember. I know there was that cool submission that at one point was used. This is why it all blends together. This is why I keep my videos.
Yeah.
Because my videos would remind me.
I write news updates, except I haven't wrote a news update. I've wrote part of one. I haven't put posts. But, you know, it'll happen.
Stall while I look up to see what the finish was, because I'm sure I have it on video.
Well, let me talk about the next match.
Go for it.
The next match was supposed to be Septimo Dragon versus Cyrus.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But Cyrus came out. I believe his introduction was botched. Is that what the story was?
On the previous show.
Oh, yeah.
That they played the wrong music or something.
Yeah.
And so, this is not our show. It's a previous show. And he had to go back. He decided to go backstage. Or the crowd chanted that he should go back. That he should go do it again. So, he went backstage and came out again.
Yeah. So, this time he pulled the same trick of going back and coming out again. The crowd was into the idea. Except, the referee decided to start counting him out after his first entrance. And by the time he circled the ring and got in, he got their 20 count. And Septimo Dragon had won before the match had started. So, that was a surprising turn of events. They both eventually agreed to get the referee to give them a second fall. And they had the normal match from there.
It was funny. You needed the context though, but all the fans there are like regulars, so they got the context. But for us, we needed it explained to us why. But it was funny to see the they explained it to us before the show, anyways. So when he came out and then he challenged, everybody knew they were gonna have a match. That's the that's like the problem. I heard them talking about this, I think on the Voices of Wrestling podcast or something, where they talk about how more indies should do surprise finishes when they're having like back to back shows, because it's not like you're gonna be deprived of seeing a big star, because they're gonna get to wrestle the next night. But in this case, I mean, this was a one night show. They can't do a finish like that. So everybody knew they were going to do the singles match.
And it was a comedy spot anyway.
Yeah, it was still a comedy spot. Everybody was laughing about it. Actually, before I go into this match, just to go back a bit, we were both wrong. Lord Byron got eliminated first in the previous match.
Yeah.
And then Furor won with a backcracker as Eric Ortiz jumped off the ropes. But back to this match, Cyrus and Septimo Dragon looked like twins. They looked like they were in the same mask.
Yeah, and they spent a lot of the match doing mirror spots.
Yeah. It became more clear when they took off their shirts, so then we knew who was who, because they had different tights on.
Yeah.
They looked different in that regard, because Septimo has the long shorts.
Yeah.
And Cyrus just has regular tights.
I think this match had some cool spots sometimes. It didn't really seem like it hung together totally.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that. The high spots were very high, very cool. But the in-between could have used some work. And they tried some rope spots that didn't really work out. Like, Cyrus tried to, like, come in over the ropes, land on the second rope, and do a Frankensteiner. But he didn't slip and fall, but he slipped to the point where he had to adjust where he was, and the crowd kind of got on his case. And there was one other thing that was definitely, like, screwed up, but I can't remember. It was just the match had a very weird flow. I had this as like the weakest match of the night for me.
Yeah,
I think even so. Though there were a lot of cool spots.
I would agree. A Septimo one with, it was not quite a Spanish fly. It was more like a super belly-to-belly suplex.
Like the move Matt Sydal used to do in his earlier days. I forget what he calls it, but it was like the belly-to-belly where he would land right on the guy.
Yeah. From there, we had the Indie Strong Bulls versus Aries and Bilal versus Kratos and Kamikaze.
Lo mismo de siempre, the same as always.
Yes.
Which is another, there's a lot of running jokes on these Riot shows.
Yeah.
And that's one of them, that they always do the same thing.
Yeah.
So they made fun of it by calling themselves Los mismos de siempre.
No, I thought it was because someone on Facebook complained that these same guys get booked on every show.
Was that it? I thought it was because they do the same shit every show.
So that was kind of I thought it was more like a kind of response to the person complaining.
It's possible, yeah.
Because I believe Eric Ortiz is the third person you're showing that. The match, but now they're on it. But it was a 2-versus-2. Bilal and Aries did more comedy than maybe you would have expected from those guys.
Right, because early, it was like one of the first things in the match was the mask ripping spot, right?
Yeah, where everyone he's taking someone's mask off. And of course, Aries has no mask. So what he did was went to the back and he found a dog mask that he had picked up someplace along the way. And he put that on, so then he would have something. And then immediately Kamikaze went to pull off the mask to discontinue the spot.
Yeah, it was. It's funny that they explained. It's not coming to me right now, but it was like some famous. It's from a TV show.
Yeah.
That it's like it's a drunk dog, because Ares also came out with a giant empty bottle of vodka or whiskey or something.
Yeah.
And he was acting drunk.
Yeah, did some drunk spots.
Yeah. He did the drunk kung fu type thing.
Yeah.
Which was funny.
Yeah. But Kamikaze and Kratos didn't look like they were doing all that much early, but I think they got better at the end of the match. And then Aries and Bilal won cleanly with like double Michinoku drivers or something along those lines.
They did the spot where everybody pulled their masks off.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
He put the dog mask back on, and then everybody yanked the masks and they put on the wrong masks.
Yeah.
So, like, the indies won while wearing Kratos and Kamikaze.
Yes, because Kratos and Kamikaze hit each other because they thought they were on the other team.
Right. It was a pretty inventive finish, actually. And the match was good. They did a lot of cool spots. Ares did his swinging around the ring post into a Rana. And then Kratos did a arm drag dive to the floor. And then Belial hit a tope. They did a wicked spot where, like, Ares was on the top rope waiting to do his double stomp onto, I think, Kamikaze. And then Kratos ran, sprang off his own partner Kamikaze's back, jumped straight onto the top rope, and did the Spanish fly, taking Ares down, which I thought was the best spot of the match. There was also a spot that I wasn't ready to film, but I wish I did. It was like the rolling submission that Blue Panther sometimes does.
Oh yeah, because he kind of hooked the.
But he had like a wacky submission hooked up while he did the roll, which I've never seen before.
No.
Was marking out like crazy, and then got really mad that I wasn't recording.
It looked like something Hetchicero would do, but it's not his rolling half crab. It's more of a different kind of thing.
He had the legs tied up in a weird way.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a good match.
Yeah. Following that was Lowrider versus Black Terry, the Maestro versus Maestro match, as billed in some locations. Lowrider
got carried out on the shoulders by some fan.
Yes. And then Lowrider and Terry took him to the ground and put him all sorts of llaves. Until Lowrider demanded no more llaves. I don't know how to deal with llaves.
In English, he said, I don't know llaves.
So, Black Terry just chopped him very hard.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he should have kept trying to pretend like he knew how to do llaves. Because, oh my god, some of those chops were crazy, and they did the headbutts too.
Yeah.
He did. Lowrider managed to fight back, and he busted Terry open with a headbutt.
Yeah, I think Terry gets busted open very easy at this point.
Yeah, the scar tissue is probably like Abdullah the Butcher at this point.
Yeah.
This was another good match. This was my third favorite match of the
night.
Yes,
this was the one where it was really fun being live. Lowrider says and does so much little stuff.
Yep.
And he's a great character.
And the crowd really likes Terry, so they had a good dynamic.
Yeah. And there was good energy. And in the end, it turned out that Lowrider did know Yabe because he was able to submit Terry with an armbar, which I think fit with the match, but I don't think anyone's really expecting for that to happen.
Oh, everybody was surprised. I was super surprised.
Yeah.
I have no problem with the result. It's cool. It's just I didn't expect it to be by submission or anything. I figured if he was going to win, it was going to be a different win.
Yeah.
They did a spot also where Lowrider like topeed Black Terry, then went for another one, and Black Terry just sidestepped him and slammed his head down into the chair as he did the tope, which
was
really cool.
Yeah, that came off really well. The timing of that was really good.
And they brawled on the floor. He threw him into the side of the ex-parking garage.
Yeah.
It was and Lowrider was all dirty.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't want him to come touch us. Because he was all like covered in whatever was on the ground.
Yeah, that's why the Aries and Bill Hall have these outfits where they're wearing like yellow jackets that are like plastic.
Uh-huh.
But you can get away with wearing them during the match. You can tell they're really dirty because they wear them during the outdoor matches or stuff. So they don't actually get all that stuff on them.
Yeah.
The main event was Ray Horace versus Ultimo Ninja, which was a really good match. They matched up pretty well. Ninja is, as we saw on both shows, pretty hated in Monterey by the hardcore fans.
They call him like Ultimo Ninja here would be pronounced like Ultimo Ninja, but if you just take the J away, it's Ultimo Ninja.
Yeah.
So they kept calling him Ninja and encouraging Horace to hit the Ninja.
Yeah. I think he's much better as a Rizzo anyways. In between the two shows. Also, he's got the kind of size and moves the way that I am so sure he's getting signed by WWE at some point.
Probably.
If they keep recruiting people, I will have no idea how his English is. I don't think
I talked to him in English a bit.
Yeah.
But like just, you know, nothing.
You don't know if he can do a promo in English.
Yeah, I didn't ask him to pretend like the camera's not there, stare off into space, and then say something, and then shut your mouth for 10 seconds until they turn the camera
off. But did you have a chance for him to watch a TV by looking towards the side of it?
No. Maybe we can try. Well, we're going to see him a couple more times this week, I think. So hopefully we'll practice that. You know, I was talking to Javier, who's a nice guy who we talk with online, or I talk with online.
Yeah. I don't talk with anybody.
We met at the show, and actually, it's really surprising to me. Everybody I've met here knows English.
Yeah.
It's like I'm waiting to talk Spanish with people and all these people speak English. It kind of annoys me.
I'm perfectly fine with it because I can understand most of the conversation.
But yeah, you practice your Duolingo now it's useless.
No.
The Javier was
still, it might have been useless to begin with, but go on.
I asked Javier why they hate the Ultimo Ninja so much, and he's like, everybody hates the Garzas.
Yes. Because they're just so famous.
It goes back to the Garza Jr. being on Multimedios.
Yes. No one's ever going to get over that.
Yeah, it's crazy. They boomed. Even today at the show, they were booing him so much. And it's like the real hardcore fans who hate him.
Yeah. If he does go to WWE, at that point, they will all be fans of him from day one. But till then, they're just going to be the heels. And they're good at being heels, so they should kind of embrace that instead of fighting it.
There was a section of girls who cheered for him that were there. And I have a feeling that that's just how it is on all the shows. Like, the girls will cheer Garza Jr. when he comes back.
That's the other reason I'm sure why they boo him, because all the girls cheer for those guys.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good reason to be hated, I guess.
Yeah.
This was a good match. They did all the stuff you would expect. It was like a awesome sequence where Horace went for his slingshot, Rana to the floor, got caught, and then powerbombed on the apron into the ring post. But then when Ultimo Ninja went to get him, Horace like elevated him into the air and right into the ring post, and he hit his head. I thought that was awesome. And then Horace did his big dive. They did the spot with the chair that I described earlier, where it came off really bad because he just hit him with like a folding launcher. Then he kicked the shit out of him, so that, at least they covered for it well. You had a little interaction in this match.
I don't recall.
It's a good thing it's not going up on video anytime soon. No. He got knocked over.
Yeah. Can we talk about the camera?
The camera?
The
guy at ringside with the... Go ahead. You tell
the camera, it's like... It's smaller than the postcard they were using for a ringside camera. I can't even tell how you can see the video on the back of it because it's so small.
I guess you just have to assume that it's recording properly.
I had heard they had a GoPro camera, but I did not realize what this was. This was... Like it's small. You could have a better view on your cell phone. And I'm not sure that they were getting better video on this than you would get on a normal cell phone.
I think Adam from Powerbomb needs to check into
this. I was really, really... I kept making to take me to take a photo just to send to Adam to see his reaction.
They did shout out Powerbomb TV before the show.
They said you cannot do any live video because of the deal with Powerbomb.
Right.
So they respected the rules of Powerbomb TV. They didn't want Adam Lash or Vin Gerard coming down on them.
I will say, I did see somebody film. I won't say who because I don't even know who it was, but some dude was definitely filming that main event. I don't know if he was streaming it anywhere.
No.
But they said, but I mean, I was filming a bunch of stuff, but I'm not putting it up live anywhere. And they said filming segments are okay. Yeah. It's just weird to hear that announcement in Mexico because, like, I didn't even hear that on the Crash show today.
No, and the person next to us were streaming the main event live to Facebook.
Oh, is that why he was recording the whole thing?
Yeah. Okay. And he had, like, one viewer. And then he gave up because there's, like, well, we'll get to it later, but there was a million people over there and he was getting really annoyed about all those people who
had, yeah, I could tell. I felt bad for him because he bought a front row seat and then everybody ran to ringside and was like crowding in on him.
Yeah, and he was crowding in on me at that point, so I was happy he got love.
Well, we were like the cutoff because nobody came to our area, but anyways, we're getting out of ourselves. The finish was Horace. They did like a forearm exchange and then Horace ducked one and hit the world's highest I call it a DDTJ.
Yeah,
other people call it a pizza DDT.
Yeah.
Please,
hi, Vinny.
Submit your votes of which one you prefer.
Yeah.
I like DDTJ. No offense to Vinny, just because Horace is from TJ, it makes more sense. A pizza has nothing to do with Horace.
Why didn't we ask this? We had an opportunity to ask him this question.
Who, Horace? Yeah. Why did we see him again afterwards?
We could have confronted him at the Crash show while he was in the middle of the match.
Right.
No, he wasn't on the Crash show. Show.
We saw him at the dinner afterwards.
Yeah, okay, I'm thinking
Ninja was there.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good match.
Of course, yeah.
I'd say that was my favorite match of the night. You too?
Yeah, that was the best match of the night.
And then, overall, excellent show. I had a really fun time. We were looking forward to it. It was like this is really like a really hardcore work rate promotion, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, they have the regular fans who expect... The fans expect good matches. That's the thing.
Yes. They don't expect what you expect from Noche de Coliseo. They expect seriousness. I mean, we had a funny kind of finish. So it's not like they're doing... This is like hardcore Noah booking here. But this was... They want great matches, and they want some fun. And they usually get both of those, so...
It's U.S. indie-inspired Mexican wrestling, basically. And they always have funny names for their shows. It's a lot of... It's a good promotion to follow regularly, and yes, we are friends with the promoter, for full disclosure.
We never found out if the Mertzen that day was legalized, because no one tried to do it.
Yeah, I kept telling Cubs before the matches, I'm like, that one of these matches is going to end with the Tombstone or Pile Driver, but we didn't even see a Canadian Destroyer on this show. That may be why Riot is my new favorite promotion.
Yeah.
Not a single Canadian Destroyer. There was not even a package Pile Driver. At one point, they were setting up for a package Pile Driver, but they did like it onto the knee.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys might not think that. I mean, if you're listening to this, you understand why that's rare. Because if you watch any Lucha Libre, you see like 15,000 Canadian Destroyers per show.
Yeah.
So it can get very tiring after a while. Even today on the Crash show, there was only one.
Right.
And that was in the technically opener, although it was the second match for us.
I don't remember happening, so I'm counting it zero.
Okay. Well, I think I have the video, so I'll remind you.
Okay.
And then after the Riot show, we had to wait for like the people to leave and the ring to be taken down.
Yeah.
and we went to the traditional after.
Well, we got to see the mat that they have underneath the great, like, if yeah. war alarm carpeting padding.
I regret not taking a picture.
Yeah,
because then
we could have taken an extra piece, as our piece is not coming with.
I just like want to see the reaction of like US indie guys or even whoever, WWE guys, just seeing like the mat,
yeah.
what it looks like, that this is what they bumped on. They'd be so freaked out.
Yeah.
And this was the good ring. Imagine yeah. what the bad ring was.
Yes.
But then we went to the traditional post show.
No, I thought he said this was like the first time they had done it.
No, what? I thought so too, but I asked the other guys. Terry said it was his third time doing it.
Hmm. So you had some tacos.
Yeah, really good tacos. Mm-hmm. Like, beautiful tacos. Smelled beautiful. Everybody was there having fun, talking. It was very, very cool atmosphere, mm-hmm. actually. I mean, mm-hmm. I like the camaraderie because I go to a lot of shows in the United States on the indie mm-hmm. scene and everything, and it's not like this. The wrestlers usually disperse and just do their own thing. Here, it was like...
There's usually more drama.
Also, there was free food here. There's no free food in
that's a good point.
US. So I'm sure if there was like a place to get free food, all the wrestlers on US indie shows would rush there.
Yeah. So that was Saturday.
Yeah, that was a long day for us.
And then Sunday.
Lots of flying, lots of people tired coming back to the hotel.
Sunday.
Cubs, let's pull the curtain back. Cubs literally said, nah, I think I'm going to go to bed. And like 10 seconds later was passed out.
Yeah. I had when I set myself to the plan, I followed through on it. And I followed through on that plan
yes.
well.
You did very well, yes.
So Sunday, we kind of just hung around. We thought the hotel breakfast looked too fancy, so we ended up walking to a different hotel.
Well, when everybody's dressed in ties and shirts and like fancy, it was like it looked like a wedding procession.
There was actually I saw the banners like for like the people who administered the election kind of thing going on.
Really?
Yeah. So
we're in the wrong hotel.
It's a very nice hotel, but it's like the lobby and the restaurant are like 12 times as fancy as we need them to be.
Above our pay grade.
Yes. They have a jewelry shop right off there.
Yeah. I'm actually afraid that if we wake up tomorrow and have to eat breakfast to go down there, I'm too intimidated.
Yeah. Because the lobby's been turned into an even bigger place for breakfast for a Monday morning. It makes no sense. But they must have a lot of people.
But I mean, the area where we are, we can just, like you said, we just stepped outside.
It's in the outdoor mall, basically, where we're at.
Yeah. We just walked through. You named the restaurant, we probably passed it while we were looking for stuff. Everything.
They had a McDonald's that only serves ice cream.
Yeah.
Which sounds like it should be like an ice cream place, but who knows?
I wonder what the profit is for that. Yeah. Ice creams are pretty cheap for McDonald's.
Yeah.
There was everything, and eventually we settled on something, Montana's or something.
Yeah.
It was connected to the iStay Hotel, which was one of the places I was looking forward to, looking up in advance to staying in, but decided not to.
You decided no iStay.
Nah, no iStay. I just didn't like the reviews.
Okay.
So we ate there, and then we ended up coming back, waiting for our ride to head out to the Crash show today, which was, as we said, at Gimnasio Nuevo León. We arrived, I would say, the show was scheduled to start at 5 p.m. I think we got there at like 4:30. And one of the things about the show, the Crash show today, is normally they play soccer here in Monterrey, as we were told, on Saturday. But for some reason, earlier this week, they moved a game with the two top teams to today, Sunday, starting at 7 p.m., which would be during the Crash show. And it just so happens that the building where the Crash is running is connected to the place where the soccer game is taking place in Monterrey. So I'm sure that affected attendance somewhat. And also that meant that when we were leaving the Crash show, we were going to run into all the people leaving the soccer game, which was going to be traffic nightmare pretty much. But we got to the show. The meet and greet was still going on. The meet and greet was supposed to start at 3. And it must have started at 3, actually, because based on pictures I saw on Instagram, there were a whole bunch of people there that weren't there when I got there. When I got there, it was Hijo de Pirata Morgan, Masquerita Dorada, the War Machine was just leaving, Brian Cage was still there, and, oh, Phoenix was on his way out. I got a chance to say hi to him quickly as he was leaving. Is it still recording?
Yeah, still recording. I'm distracted because I saw Chuck Taylor's in a New Japan tour.
Oh, okay. Is he really?
Yes. Wow. He's in the World Tag League with Trent.
That is very cool.
Yeah. They doesn't look like they announced anything with Naito yet, so.
That's the big thing everybody's waiting for next Sunday. Well, we'll get into that after, but we got to so the meeting we finished up. Everybody did their thing. We went to take our seats. We had front row seats, really nice. The only complaint that I have in regards to the seating, and this is probably a local thing, not a Crash thing, is the place
the guardrails
that set it up. The guardrails were like high.
When I was sitting down, it was like my eyesight went. The top of the barrier was like even with the bottom rope kind of thing.
And you're not a short person, so it was pretty high.
Yeah.
And they were also like a old school WCW cage.
Yeah.
Where if I was trying to film something, I couldn't do it sitting where I was. I had to like pick my camera up into the air over the guardrail, and I was in the first row.
Yeah.
Think about that. That was my only complaint.
I think we've learned the fan kicks in every 30 minutes on the 30 minutes.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
So that's my only complaint. Otherwise, the seats were great. The view was excellent. The building is really nice for wrestling, actually. They had a pyro show. Before the show, they had pyros go off before.
Yeah.
Lady Flamer had pyro for her entrance, and then
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, she did. And Rey Mysterio, so Lady Flamer and the main eventers.
Yeah.
Those were the only people with pyros for their entrance.
The big stars,
right? And there was a special section with people in blue who were like,
like black and white. Oh no, I'm thinking of somebody else. But the blue section,
they were like the children's hospital people who were like invited to the show, and they were actually they were into Lady Flamer. They must know who she is.
Yeah. Well, they were just in the idea of the girls fighting against the guys, because there was a lot of girls in that a lot of little girls in that section.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
And there was a white and black section over by one of the entrances with a whole bunch of Ingobernable fans.
Oh, they had a flag too.
Yeah,
I didn't really get that at first until afterwards. You guys explained to me how the Ingobernables got there in the limo and everything.
Yeah. Well, one of them did.
Well, one, yeah. The show was supposed to start at 5. I think it got started at, if you can believe it, 5:09.
Yeah.
Which is, for Lucha standards, that's pretty incredible. And if the Crash is going to revolutionize Lucha Libre and the first step is getting shows started on time, then congratulations, Crash. Because Lucha definitely needs that. There are a lot of places in the U.S. Indies that need that.
Yeah.
But we started with an unadvertised dark match. This was before they did the whole intro for the show. So this was just probably to test out the cameras and get the crowd hot. We had Baby Fox and Ares.
Yeah.
Same one, Ares from the Indestructibles, teaming up against Rey Demonio Jr. and Golden Boy, who are brothers from Monterey. I think the third brother is Simbolo, right?
It's Rey Demonio, Silencio, Simbolo.
Oh, so it's all of them?
Yeah, it's four of them.
Oh, okay. I thought it was only three.
You were there when we were having a conversation about
I'm
the four brothers. You remember every spot of the match, and I remember half the conversation.
You're the Lucha expert. You're Lucha blog. I'm just the guy who posts stupid gifs.
No, I think I'm Matthew, is what we found out today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
This match was good. This match was more... I think this match was designed just to get Baby Fox over. Like, he trains with Golden Boy. You're throwing your hands up in disgust.
Naito's not even in the World Tag League. What are we doing on Sunday?
Us?
We're
going to XMW.
Oh, what in the world are they...
I don't know what they're doing there.
So no one's going to... Okay. Continue your conversation.
It's not worth worrying about. What's worth worrying about is that this was a good tag match where Baby Fox did a ton of shit with his trainer Golden Boy and with Rey Demonio Jr. He did all the standing on the shoulder spots, the satellite head scissors, rope trick spots. So maybe this was like them auditioning him to get into the Crash full time or something. I don't know if it'll work. He seemed pretty young and pretty skinny. Not that that stops other people from working the Crash. Ares did some cool shit. The Rudos didn't really stand out except for their basing. I don't remember them doing much.
No, it was all about making people like to see Baby Fox. And, you know, I don't know if he'll be able to do the same much stuff without his trainer in there, but he did well there. He also looks about, like, even younger than Ashelux, if that's possible.
Yeah. I think when people start to see Torito Negro, when he starts working the Crash on Tuesday, it's going to be between Baby Fox, Torito Negro, and Ashelux for who's the skinniest wrestler right now.
Yeah.
So the Technicos won this match when Ares did his swinging Northern Light suplex.
Yeah.
And then...
No, I thought Ares was the double stomp.
Because the Spanish fly was at the same time as the swinging Northern Light suplex, but that got a two count.
Oh, okay.
And then they went into the double stomp and then the Torito, the somersault into the sunset flip. And the crowd really popped for the finish. This is how you should start a show. I mean, this is perfect. No, don't overbook things. Just give the crowd a fun match to start a show. Then we had the Erecanes come out with Roberto Figueroa Jr., who, funnily enough, I met him for the first time. It's actually funny. We knew him in like the early days of me being even on the internet, there was like a website called Lo Mejor de la Lucha, who you should also follow on Twitter. Just look up Lo Mejor de la Lucha. They do live results and have cool pictures and video. They're the official Monterey account. Anyways, I'm getting off track. His father started that website, and it was like one of the first Lucha Libre websites actually on the internet. I think it was like Jose Fernandez did La Arena.
Miguel Fonseca was first.
Fonseca had a website. I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
And then Jose was there, and this site was interesting to us because at the time we were watching the old multimedia stream. Out of all the people to have streams going on the internet back in like 1999, there was America One, which aired all the Wild Side shows and XPW and other promotions, and then there was Multimedios, which basically the same night, right after the US Indie Group shows aired their stuff, we would get to see wrestling from Monterey, and we didn't know much about these guys, but a group of us would be like an IRC, if anybody here still knows what IRC is. We were chatting while watching these shows, and they were pretty popular at the time. But to learn about Monterey and all the guys we were watching, we went to this Lo Mejor de la Lucha site run by Roberto Figueroa Sr., who would always have his little kid, who was like maybe 8, 9 years old, and he would interview the wrestlers. And it was funny because they would take a picture of every wrestler he interviewed, and he's like either standing on a chair interviewing them, or he's like reaching up with the microphone for the tape recorder for them to talk into it. And this guy, the kid, would grow up to become the Roberto Figueroa that we all know now, who works for Multimedios and is on all these regular, even non-wrestling TV shows. And he helps promote Revo Lucha here in Monterey. Plus, he works with The Crash. It's freaking crazy, actually. Just that a kid would grow up, the kid that we random know. Another thing about them is the family would help us out by sending us, if you have like any Monterey DVD or tape in your house or you've seen video online, 99% it came from them.
Yeah.
They were super helpful. They were also, like, you remember the first CMLL pay-per-view? That was from them. The father taped it, sent it out to one copy to Alfredo, one to me, and there might have been another one out to somebody else too.
Was that the Volano match?
Yeah, the Atlantis versus Viano match. That's how it existed. I mean, if not for them, who knows how we would have got a copy of that show.
Yeah, who knows if we've ever seen it.
Yeah. So the whole point of all this was, so Roberto came out and did the introduction to the show, and he hyped up everything. They played a nice video, just like you would expect from any real promotion, not like an indie group, just to show that Crash is like a step above. They had the video. They talked about how the show was being filmed and for television, which got a big pop from the crowd. And yeah, they started, the video was pretty cool, showing all the talent. A lot of clips from like ROH and WWE PWG, Lucha Underground. And the first match that we saw was Astro Lux. And I gotta get these teams. I know it was Black Boy and Arcangel Divino, because they had the matching gear, as you said.
Yeah.
Against Astro Lux and, oh, the guy from Northern Mexico. Ah, Sombra de Plata.
Yes. Are we sure he's from Northern Mexico?
They announced him as from, now I can't remember the city, but it was from wherever he wrestled Flamita in that city. I can't remember what city it was. But he wrestled him, and I guess he made a good impression. They decided to invite him on the tour, so he's going to be on a bunch of shows. Mm. He was okay. I mean, I saw the Flamita match. He didn't really blow me away. Tonight he was fine. I thought the other guys in the match were kind of a step above him, though. We were kind of wondering who Arcángel Divino was going to work with, because he can only do his cool shit against Ultimo Maldito, really.
Yeah.
He also does cool shit against Latigo, but Latigo isn't on these shows. But it actually ended up really good. They did all the stuff you would expect, all the fancy flips, the arm drags and stuff. I mean, this is, you know what you get when
Astrolux these guys did a dive into the crowd.
Astrolux had a problem with his mask tonight, which was pretty funny. He did the Sai moonsault where he cleared the guardrail, and as he cleared the guardrail, his mask came flying off. Luckily enough, there were nice fans in the area who just grabbed it and gave it right back to him instead of just trying to snap pictures while he was lying, trying to cover his face. And it actually got him more over, because he got his mask, he got up, and everybody started chanting Nino at him because he's skinny and he's tiny, so everybody thinks it's a child under the mask, but he is not a child. Or depending on what your definition of a child is, he's not an actual child. He's a teenager. And at the same time, I think Septimo, Sombra de Plata did a Sai Moonsault, but we weren't really watching that since we were making sure we weren't getting landed on our side.
Yeah.
There was an awesome spear spot during this match, which you should check on my... I posted it on Instagram and on Twitter, where...
They did the toss up in the air like they do with Kevin Arrow's dropkick, but instead, yeah. Astralux got speared.
But he was, like, in the air hanging there, and then spear was, like, on a downward angle. Mm-hmm. Killed him on the mat. Later on, Arcangel Divino did a Rena, where he sent his opponent to the floor, and then he did the... He tried the, you know, the Máscara Dorada style step on the second rope, turn around, stand on the top rope moonsault. But he slipped. Luckily, he slipped in a way where he just landed right back on the second rope and then just came back onto the top rope to do the moonsault. Really cool spot. And then the finish was poor Astralux did a 450 splash. And as on the impact of the 450 landing, his mask came flying off again. I don't understand how that happened.
I feel like it got caught on something on the way in the air.
But then why did it happen on the Asai moonsault to the floor? That there's nothing for it to get caught on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if maybe one of his like clasps came loose or something and he couldn't fix it. But it was funny because he's making the pinfall while he's covering his face, and then somebody, one of the photographers, threw his mask back in the ring, and he was like putting his mask back on as the ref was trying to raise his hand showing that he won. But the crowd gave the match a big ovation and they deserved it, right?
Yeah. It was another fun match.
Mm-hmm. Then the second match was it the 4-on-4 match?
Yes.
It was four women against four men. The men were Black Danger or Peligro Negro, depending how you want to call him.
Black Danger.
Ultimo Maldito.
I can tell you if you want to keep guessing.
Go ahead.
Tiago.
Tiago and Epidemus.
Yeah.
I knew Epidemus because we were both wondering who that guy was.
Yeah.
And at one point, I guess Dragio, I don't know how to pronounce it, but he worked in Guadalajara, so I thought maybe he came for this match, this show too. But I think Epidemus was in because Hijo de Pirata Morgan wasn't.
Yes. We saw him doing the meet and greet, but we did not see him any point during the show.
And we didn't get an explanation as to why he wasn't wrestling, but I'm going to just assume injury or resting up. Then the four girls were Chrissy James.
Yes.
Kayra.
Yes.
Lacey Lane.
Yeah.
Who looks a lot like... She has a look like Mecha 450 does.
Kind of.
She has the eye thing going on and all the same entrance gear. And the fourth girl I can... Oh, Lady Flammer.
Yeah.
Who... So we were talking to somebody. So apparently when Cubs used to upload Monterey regularly, she's only 17 now.
I thought you meant they said she was 16.
Now?
Now.
Well, either way, 16 or 17, that means when you were uploading video, she was like 13 or 14.
Yes.
Which is pretty fucking crazy. But I mean, she was wrestling.
Yes, I was committing some sort of crime.
She was wrestling with her dad. Right now, everybody just paused the podcast and went to look at matches of her when she was 13 or 14. I bet you anything.
Oh, that's what I'm doing right now.
We shouldn't let the women's wrestling creepers online know about this because they're definitely going to go check it out. So it was 4-on-4. Lady Flammer was super over because she's the local girl.
Yeah.
And she worked with Epidemus to start the match, so he was helping her. You know, she was showing off all her stuff.
And this was the one with all the little girls in the coming from the children's hospital, rooting really hard for the girls in the match.
Yeah, and by helping her, I don't mean like she's not good enough, and he was just doing stuff for her. She's talented. She just needs someone to base for her, clearly. And she did a good job. Lacey Lane, I've never seen before. Honestly, I've never heard of before. No offense to anybody. But she came out of nowhere and did an awesome rope trick, head scissors spot that was really cool. I thought she showed a lot of charisma. Definitely a good addition to the show. And that's coming from a guy who's not really into women's wrestling. Christy was pretty toned down. She just really did a...
Stunner
and then a DDT later on. I don't know if she was resting up or something. It was hinted to us that she was probably resting up from an injury, so...
She had a knee taped.
Yeah, we'll cut her some slack. The fourth girl, Kayra. Kayra actually didn't do much, considering it was Kayra, right?
No, I was
disappointed. You're a big Kayra fan.
As the fanboy of Kayra, I said, I was a little disappointed. She did a lot of rooting for the crowd. The crowd was... She did some cheerleading and she did some kicks, but really, because it was eight people, there's a lot of people trying to get their stuff in. It wasn't a long match. It seemed like maybe the shortest of the matches. Maybe the opener was about the same time. So, and it was just a lot of people to get do stuff, and I think it didn't always come together. I think the Rudos didn't do much when they took control of the match, or they didn't do much interesting, and it was not like there was just some giant comeback at all. It seemed like Kira started the comeback, and then people were lost and not in the right position, and people had to be moved around, and then they did more stuff. So it wasn't... you could see the idea was to get some of the smaller male Rudos against the women to make it a little balanced and get the fans behind the women, but it just did not gel right.
I would agree. Because I remember I told you during the match, I'm like, this crowd is so off for the girls that when they get their comeback, it's going to be a huge pop, and it wasn't really a huge pop. But they did the dual swinging DDT spots. Then they were double dives by Lacey and...
It was Flamer.
Flamer, yeah, Lady Flamer. So there was double planchas. And then as I think Epidemus had Christy in a half crab in the corner, Tiago put like the old Shattered Dream spot, the Goldust does, and he kicked Kayra right in the where the groin would be. But I mean, I guess she has a groin, yeah. Kicked her low, basically. And then she came back and ended up kicking him low. It was really awkward, though, because she had to do it twice.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if she missed on the first one or if she just wanted to double make sure she fouled him. But Tiago didn't sell it big enough for the first one.
Maybe they both knew that they didn't get it right, so they just went back to it. I was waiting for her to do her drop kick in the corner all match.
Yeah.
But it never came. And she ended up winning after that low blow. This was probably the weakest match of the night, in my opinion.
You could tell they were trying to experiment. I mean, the issue was they're running so many cars, and they are making an effort to change the matches on each show. So,
which is why we're going to so many shows.
We got what in the Archangel Divino match, we got two technical teams facing off. And those technicals would normally be facing the Rudos in this match.
And the girls would be by themselves.
Yes. Yeah. So they tried to do a little differently. A little bit of it worked. It was not like a disaster of a match, but it was probably just something different than something good.
It was fun. I mean, it wasn't a bad match. It was just on tonight with all the good matches, it was the weakest.
Okay, I got a Lady Flamer mattress from 2010. I have a video of 2010. So she was like 10 years old having mattress.
But I mean, that's common here. Just a child.
That's a common. I have a 2013 video.
It says match 2 of 6, so I'm sure it was just like early on the show.
Yeah.
Just get her out there. After this match was the... It was another flying match, I think. You have it here.
Yes. Shane Strickland, Laredo Kid, and Sammy Guevara versus Flip Gordon, Flamita, and Ultimo Ninja. We almost wandered into Sammy Guevara's video, but I think it'll be edited out.
Yes, check his vlog. Yes. And we might show up, but probably not. Mm-hmm. The one thing I found funny that I noted to my buddy here was in his entrance, Flip Gordon jumped from the second rope onto the top rope and did a 450. So I said, he just did more in his entrance here than he did his entire CMLL run.
Yeah.
Granted, it was interrupted by an earthquake, but he still had a couple matches, and he definitely seemed to be working harder than he was there. But I think there's more of a standard here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to bury CMLL too much, but there's a very low standard to wrestle in CMLL these days. And here on the Crash, everybody seems to be working really hard.
Well, you know, even before the match, everyone was... After, I think, Guerrero did a flip or something in the ring, everyone made a point to try to upstage his flip.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just to annoy him. So, I think it worked. So they were having some discussions beforehand, and Strickland was calming Guerrero down.
I will say, one of the things I should have mentioned at the start of this review is, like, these guys worked in Tijuana on Saturday.
Yeah.
And the show in Tijuana finished, let's say, 12 midnight or a little after midnight local time in Tijuana. And they had to fly to Monterrey, which means they're losing 2 hours.
Yeah.
And the show today was, like I said, at 5.
Did Tijuana change times with us? So some of the border times.
Tijuana did change times. Bestia mentioned that to us.
Yeah.
So these guys are wrestling their next show basically on like a 17 or 18 hours, maybe less. Plus, you know how time zones fuck with you when you fly. It's not good.
But with all the concerns, this was easily the best match I thought of the night.
This one? Well, I had a different match for best of the night, but this was the best technical match from a pure wrestling standpoint.
From crazy moves and people doing athletic things, this was probably the best of those.
Which is like the Crash books these type of guys to do that match. This is why... Mm-hmm. This is what differentiates Crash for me. It's like they bring in these guys to have the U.S. indie work rate type matches.
Yeah.
Do you want to point out anything from the match?
No, I never remember anything
I'll point out from the match. They did a whole bunch of dives, as you would expect. The Loretto kid did his tornillo to the floor. Flamita did a moonsault to the floor. They did a, the Flip Gordon did his like cartwheel on the apron, super kick, and then a moonsault. Shane Strickland did a bunch of cool shit. They had the apron spot where there was a DVD by, I think Shane gave it to Sammy. Shane gave Sammy the DVD on the apron, and that was right after Flamita did like a crazy Frankensteiner, taking Loretto Kid off the apron to the floor, which made a loud thud. Like, Loretto Kid, every time I see Loretto Kid wrestle in Monterey, he takes the craziest fucking bumps. Remember we found that handheld in the Monday Nuevo Loretto show for AAA where he took a body slam off the apron?
Yeah.
Straight to the ground floor. Like, that's grass. I mean, there's grass, but it's a hard dirt floor.
Yes.
Guy's nuts. He's just always trying to work hard in front of his hometown crowd.
Strickland was the only sane person on that team.
Imagine saying that.
Yeah.
And then the finish was... who went over in that
Ultimate
match?
Ninja gave Strickland the two Sombra one-arm power bombs.
Because the crowd was booing the shit out of him. And it was three, actually. He did the two regular, and then the third was the sit-down.
Okay.
And he got booed like crazy, but he was playing it up. It was cool.
Yeah.
And then they did the show of respect afterwards, where everybody shook hands, raised each other's hands.
It was the spot for where people were supposed to throw in money, but this was not throwing money culture in Monterey.
Yeah, we haven't seen any money thrown on the two shows, whereas like in Mexico City, we are like, better comparison would be the last time we both went to a crash show was in Tijuana.
Yeah.
And every match had money thrown. In. It's just crazy. Well, not the main event, but by that point, I assume the crowd was out of money.
Yeah.
But it's just funny because, I mean, if you were going to throw money, it would be after a match like this. Maybe we're not doing it justice, but it was definitely a work rate match. It was cool.
Yeah.
I liked it. And this is the type of match I expect on a crash show. So they're known for, this is what their staple should be.
So the following match was the Black Taurus, Demos and Bestia versus Maximo, Mascarilla Dorada, and Jack Evans, who is very, very bald now.
And that they make an awesome team.
Yes.
They are like, because they bring something completely different to the show, which is why this was my match of the night.
Yeah, because Maximo and Dorado can do big moves. Oh, and Jack too. But they can also do comedy and do character stuff. The Maximo Dorado relationship works a lot like what people liked about the Pimpinella Masquerita Scarada relationship on Lucha Underground, where they're both weird characters that kind of fit together. But they also can work a lot better than those two guys, I think.
Yeah, where were you? You went up into the bleachers for this match.
I went and got high with Will Ryder. That's what actually happened.
Oh, is that what happened?
You know,
even though Will Ryder wasn't on this show.
Even though he was so hyper, he was so hyped for me to do that on Saturday. I just gave it, and 24 hours after, I went up on the bleachers just to see a different view and to see what it would look like without a barrier in my face, and it looked like it was very far away, and I should have sat closer, but it looked like it was good comedy, and Jack was very into the match the whole time, into trying to get his revenge on Bestia.
I missed the beginning of the match because Roberto Jr. came over to say hi, and we were talking for a bit, and so I didn't see that. But when I did pick up and start focusing on the match, I really liked it. I thought the Rudos did a good job beating down the Technicos. They did a lot of funny stuff where Mascarita like jumped on Taurus's back.
Yeah.
It was like pounding on him to like try to take him down, but obviously that wasn't going to work. I think Taurus is an incredible talent.
I think the other reason why I like Dorada and Maximo together is that it puts Demas on the other side, and Maximo and Demas play off each other really well.
Mm-hmm. He like bit his ass.
Yes. And then
Maximo grabbed his head and put it back there because he wanted more.
Yeah. And it's a matchup that CML could have done at any time and never would have thought to do when both of those guys were there, but now that they're in trash, they can work with each other well. They mess with the referee, but they teased the guests, but then Maximo decided the referee had bad breath.
Yeah, that was funny. The comeback, this was the match where, like, remember I told you the women were going to get a huge comeback when they got in this match, because they pulled off the comeback right in this match, unlike the women's match, where Jack just made a perfect comeback, and they were going crazy, and then they grabbed the leather strap, and they kept whipping the Rudos with it, because the Rudos had done that to the Technicos, which got a big, because that type of thing, I mean, it doesn't really hurt, but it makes such a good noise that the crowd just eats it up. They did a lot, all the usual stuff. Masuida did his flying stuff with Demus, the satellite head scissors.
Yeah.
Maximo did a lot of comedy, which was super over.
Oh, yeah.
Jack was really intense, like Cub said, going after Bestia. He did his boom, the standing tornado, the moonsault. Jack looks so weird though without the hair. I mean, it's kind of, I mean, it'll grow on us eventually. It's just all,
it'll grow on him fully too.
Yeah, we've never seen Jack without hair. Even when he started out, he had like a full head of hair. So it's,
he didn't
kinda,
call, he comes in the world bald. Well, no, I guess he did, but we didn't see him there.
And then they did a double dive. They did a one dive. Whoa, remember Maximo? They sent the Rudos to the floor, and then Maximo did a high five with Masquerita, and they went to do the butt bump. But Masquerita is so small that the butt bump caused him to take an actual bump. And Maximo was like, oh, sorry, sorry. And he did a tope, and Masquerita did a somersault over the ring post. And then it was down to Bestia and Jack, who had a nice little exchange. And then Jack missed something off the top. Bestia grabbed him, but then Jack turned it into the backslide with the bridge and got the 1-2-3. So it's like usual, the guy who wins the hair match ends up losing the next day in the trios. Good. I mean, I thought this was my favorite match of the night because it was very authentic Lucha Libre. The mini, the exotico, the crowd just being into all the shtick and supporting the technicals over the Rudos. It was this type of match that, like, cheap show. WrestleCon is coming, or Crash is coming to WrestleCon. This is the type of match that you're going to see there live that's actually going to get over because it's something that you don't see in the U.S. Like, this is a special attraction.
Or you'll get some weird freak show match, but it won't really come together as well as this match came together.
Right. This match was...
I'm sure Janela will have something weird, but it will not... It'll be funny in the idea, and it'll be funny in wrestling Twitter, but this was actually funny where anyone could have, without knowing the characters beforehand, would have enjoyed this match.
Right. I thought all these guys did a tremendous job, and Black Taurus, Bestier, just great talent. Demus, I mean, that whole team is amazing. Yeah. Like, Demus, I never got a chance to talk to him. Hopefully I'll get a chance on one of the other shows. My favorite guy on Twitter. You should all be following Demus. Because if you tweet at him, he will respond, and it'll be like someone just smashed their fist into the keyboard, and whatever came out is his reply.
Yes.
Next up we had...
It was Willie Mack, Brian Cage, and Carlito versus War Machine and Mecha Wolf. And this match started with people reacting really big for Carlito, and by the end of the match, no one was really reacting big to pretty much anything.
Yeah, it was a weird match. I couldn't tell why the crowd wasn't so into it. They were working their usual match, doing all their big spots. I think out of everybody, Cage was getting the biggest reaction, but also Cage had
a strong rooting group
of women who were, not women, young girls who were really into him and wanted to kind of molested him after the match.
Mecha Wolf came out kind of dressed like War Machine, or at least because its face paint kind of worked with him, it kind of looked like a team unit. But I think it was also that it was semi-main. People had seen a lot of good matches. They really wanted to see the main event. And these guys, as much as they did, except maybe Carlito, that they weren't going to do anything that was going to surpass what they have already seen at that point, kind of situation. And this was not like the best War Machine match I've seen, or the best. I think Cage and Mac, and the guys did all right, but this was not a blow out of the water match that you would think that you think could be possible.
It's also possible that like the crowd was a little tired at this time. Not that the show went long. I think the show was actually making amazing time.
Yeah.
By the time the main event hit the ring, it had been like a just over two hour show, which, you know, for Mexico standards is amazing. Usually it goes much longer.
Yeah.
I think maybe they were just waiting for the main event. Like, they were ready to see Rey, they were ready to see Penta, they were ready to see Phoenix, Incombernables. Just a standard match. I mean, everybody did their cool spots. Mr. 450.
Mecha Wolf
did the Asai moonsault where he got huge height on it.
I think you can still call him Mr. 450 and more people would know than Mecha Wolf.
It's Mecha Wolf 450 too, isn't it?
It's so many things. It's Lucha, so you have three different names.
War Machine did their stuff. Brian Cage did a couple cool power spots, and then the finish was, I believe, Willie Mack went over.
Yeah, Willie Mack went over Mecha Wolf because we have discovered there is a Willie Mack
Mecha Wolf
feud going on.
Yep, that's the new feud. I could see them doing a hair match. I mean, they both don't have that much hair, where they could each get shaved.
Willie Mack has a bald spot coming in. I was very sad. I think we're all growing way too old.
And fine match. I mean. I don't want to say, like, if this match wasn't on the show, I wouldn't have cared, but this match definitely is not something I'm going to remember, especially being here after for a week. But also, you know, these guys, that's the thing. These guys are on a tour. So you, at some point, you have to conserve yourself.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure, like, tomorrow, for example, it's going to be War Machine versus the Lucha Brothers versus Bestia and Black Taurus. Can you imagine how incredible that sounds? And I'm sure that could be the match of the night. So
they're not picking their spots.
Yeah, you're not relying on the same guys to have the match of the night. Like, if this was a tour where all the cards were the same, I don't think me and Cubs would be making the effort to go out to Querétaro or even considering going to any other city. We would just wait for the two big stops.
Before the main event, we had announcement that the next show would be on December 17th, the next Crash on Monterey, presented by Revolucha. And that they would have LA Park making his Crash debut for that city, facing Rush in some sort of match. They never said mano a mano, so I assume it's a tag match. But
they didn't. They had the graphic on the screen said, La Park versus Rush.
But they never said mano a mano.
I'm pretty sure that it's gonna be mano a mano.
It'd be cool if it was, but the main event sounded like they were going to get other people, like that Penta and Phoenix may still get involved.
It's going to be a big month for the Crash, because they also announced at the TJ show that the Young Bucks are coming on December 1st to Tijuana.
They're running another tour at the end of November, early December, and then they're off for a little bit, and then they're running another one right leading into Christmas.
Originally, I had heard that their next date was going to be the 15th, I think, in December, but I'm guessing, I don't have this confirmed, I'm guessing they moved it to December 1st because that's the only date the Young Bucks are available.
Yes.
And when you're the Young Bucks, people book their shows around you now. Yeah. So that's great for the Young Bucks. So it worked out. And I guess I didn't understand this in the poster, but my friend here happily pointed it out to me that since Phoenix and Flamita are on one side of the poster and the Young Bucks are on the other side, that's the match that they're doing.
Yeah.
Which sounds fucking amazing. Mm. And especially in TJ.
They'll get big reactions.
That is going to be big. How have we gotten this far without even mentioning in TJ Volador Jr. showed up?
Yeah, because we're just talking about the shows we're at. But yeah, Volador showing up is a pretty big deal. Volador almost joining Ingemar Nobles in two different cities in two different promotions is a pretty big deal. Especially now, I think I had thought that Volador wasn't going to be in Ingemar Nobles because he could not, because I would assume that whoever's going to be in there was going to team with Naito in the World Tag League. But since Naito's not in the World Tag League, that's not a problem anymore.
But then wasn't he saying he was going to announce somebody from the World?
That was... Yeah, so Naito was also saying that it's dumb to have the people who already have matches in for the Dome show to be in the World Tag League because everyone knows they're not going to win, and he already has a match, so they listen to him.
Naito's just trolling the internet.
Yes, that's his gimmick.
And everybody bought it hook, line, sinker.
Yeah.
In reality, him and Kamaitachi are just coming to Mexico to come to XMW with us.
Yeah.
So
they might visit the pyramids again.
They announced those two matches, so that's going to be a big month for the Crash. Okay. And
Ricochet is around at some point, too.
He's coming on the 15th. Huh? So he's going to be there they are doing a show the 15th. So that show is going to be in... I saw the post earlier, now I can't remember. Anyways... The whole point of me bringing all this Volador Jr. stuff up was because we were wondering if we were going to get a special appearance by Volador or LA Park, because they both are from the area here. Like, LA Park lives close enough where he could just basically drive here and then go home right away. Instead, we got a video promo from LA Park.
Yeah, after the main event.
After the main event, yeah, where he was challenging Rush. So that was technically his appearance on the show, which is fine. I mean, if he's not here, you play a video preview, it accomplishes the same thing. Without him having to come all the way here.
Well, having to pay him to come all the way here.
Right. No, they had the Ingobernables come out first to their theme, their cool theme, and they were super over with only the corner of the crowd that was like their pora that had the flag and was cheering for them.
Yeah.
Everybody else was unbelievable reactions in this match. Especially Pentagon was more over than Rey. Can you agree with that?
Yeah.
And can you believe it?
No.
It's wild.
It was even after a match, too, when he was doing the promo. It was like, Rey has to follow that. That's a problem for Rey.
Yeah, it's crazy how over Penta is. This match was... It started off super hot. They were brawling in the crowd. I think at one point, Pentagon and Rush brawled outside the actual gymnasium into the area where the meet and greet is, which connects to the outside parking lot. there was too much going on to follow it all. They were throwing each other to the guardrails. The crowd was like running after them, trying to film all the brawling that was going on.
Yeah.
And it was the usual.
I think Lil Nas X took Ray out there just to find out what was going on with Russian Pentagon.
If they were coming back or not. Or did they just leave?
Yeah. So that left Phoenix, poor Phoenix, up with Pyrrhoff for an extended period of time.
Well, Phoenix was just like taking all of Pyrrhoff's like whip into the guardrails as if like he was actually throwing him hard, even though Pyrrhoff was basically... But I did say to Cubs, and I agree, and I mentioned this before on my Twitter, they hide Pyrrhoff really well in these trios matches. Like, I think Rush and LaMusker are working extra hard to cover up for the fact, because if Pyrrhoff wrestles terribly, at some point the Crash is just... This is not CMLL, where CMLL doesn't care about your wrestling and don't care about their quality of product. In the Crash, they would demote Pyrrhoff to, like, a mid-card match if he was ruining these main events. But they hide him pretty well. You barely notice he's there for the most part, which is exactly the proper use of Pyrrhoff. Anyways, they had the comeback, and during the comeback it turned into another brawl where this time Pentagon was chasing Rush out of the building. He picked up one of those giant garbage cans and threw it at him and ended up bringing it back into the ring, and they threw it at La Mascara. Pentagon, Ray and Phoenix did something that I can't remember right now, but they both ran to the ropes as if like they were both gonna dive. What do you got?
I don't got anything. I remember a trash can.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of super kicks.
Yep. Phoenix did that cool spot on the ropes, which I just posted also on my Twitter and Instagram, where he swung through both ropes, ducked Rush, and did a ace crusher. Ray did a cool sequence with the Rudos. Pentagon, of course, Rush was like running from Pentagon. But Pentagon finally got in all his shit, hit him with the sling blade, hit him with the backcracker.
They did the package pile driver double stomp into Phoenix doing a dive on the outside.
And 619.
And 619. Which was on Mascara?
This was on Mascara.
And then Rush pulled out the referee, which I need to add to his signature moves, because he does it in every other match.
It was cool because from where we were sitting, I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. I just saw the 1-2, and I was waiting for the 3, and then I didn't see it. I'm like, what happened? I thought the ref screwed up or something. But Rush pulled him out, then Rush came back in there, got kicked into the 619 position. Ray went for the 619, and Pyrrhoff actually managed to get into the right position to catch him and pull him out of the ring. Maybe the coolest thing Pyrrhoff's ever done, and slam Ray into the guardrail. And then inside the ring, Phoenix got in there with Rush, and Rush ripped off his mask.
Yeah.
And pinned him. It was kind of an abrupt ending, but super heated match. Like, that's why you're here, to see matches like that where people are just like going crazy. They're into the personalities instead of the match. Like, because Crash undercards are mostly matches where people are into the wrestling.
Yeah.
They want to see the spots. In the main event, they were there for the personalities. Those guys could have stood there for 15 minutes and still gotten applause.
Yeah.
Because they had the dueling chants going on.
They were super excited for that match from the moment started until the end.
Yep.
And then the technicals did promos. Gobernables, I think Rush taunted and then left. And then the technicals did their promos, and they got
Rush said he's here for real competition and cut a promo also on LA Park instead of those guys. And then they took all their masks.
Yeah. And then they left. Then Penta and Ray got new masks. And Penta was wearing Mysterio mask for a little bit. They cut promos. La Mascara put on a shirt and came back with Rush and Pyrrhoff, and just to come back to agree not to fight them right then and walk out again.
Yeah.
And then Rush and...
Rush was waiting for like a beer shower or something, because he was really egging the crowd on.
And then Mysterio and Penta did their catchphrases and made Phoenix do his catchphrase. Phoenix was not as hyped to do his catchphrase repeating as the other two guys were.
Because he wasn't going to get anywhere near the pop that the other guys got.
Yeah.
But Pentagon was definitely, I mean, the crowd wanted zero miedo.
Yeah.
And then they left, and the show was over.
Yeah.
And then there was a big line for Ray was signing autographs after the show.
Yeah.
Huge lineup. And after the show, we just hung around a while, talked with Roberto Sr., said hi, went back and saw Roberto Jr., saw... Ruben from Master Public, really nice, said hi to him. He's helping put these shows together. Master Public's a big part of the tour, so the tour has been going 3 days.
Yeah.
And honestly, he looked like he's been here 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how stressful it is. Like, kudos to him for going through all this. And, like, he's still got so many shows to get to.
Yeah.
He'll do it, though. He's a tough guy.
Kleinarch is going to be upset that Ruben got to meet me, and he still has not found a way to track me down.
Kevin has still not managed to meet you. I met Kevin 2 years ago, I think, at WrestleCon. Very cool, very, very good show. Definitely my favorite of the. I mean, we've already been to two shows, but lots of action. And, like, I'm just thinking, we saw this show tonight. We might go to Nuevo Laredo tomorrow. We're seeing Crash on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
And all I can think of is that CML lineup for Friday.
Yeah.
How am I going to survive watching that show? Because they don't have nearly any of the action I see on these Crash shows. Yeah. And I'm not saying that just to put Crash over. Nobody told me I have to put Crash over.
Yeah.
I'm honestly just saying it. I mean, you guys should look up Friday's lineup. It's really fucking shitty.
Everyone's on board with that, so.
And we're going to have to sit through that. It's rough.
They are doing Willie Mack, Mr. 415, Nuevo Laredo. I completely forgot about that.
See?
It is a feud.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, best match for me was the Maximo match. Cubs like the Flip Gordon match.
Yeah. Why hasn't Daga been on these shows? Was he someplace this weekend?
Yes, he was, actually. Oh, I can break the news to you for a change. Daga had his first bodybuilding competition this weekend.
Oh.
And he actually placed in whatever category he's in.
How do you...
He returns tomorrow. He's in the Nuevo Laredo main event with Ray and Cage?
Yes.
Against Dingo Bernabéz, I think.
Yeah, that's what we got scheduled.
So either we're going to be there. If we go to that show, it's still not confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
We might have to leave before that main event starts just because it's a 2-hour drive and we got to come back for our early morning flight.
Yes.
They do too, actually.
Yeah.
The whole roster does.
Yeah, they have the same schedule as we do, which is kind of
weird. We might actually end up being on the same flight as them, which would be pretty fucking funny.
Yeah. We might be an hour early, but we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
We may all just be stuck at the airport anyways.
At least we know that we weren't the crazy ones. They have the right idea too, coming back to Mexico City.
Yeah.
Because when we were looking up flights or flight costs, it was too expensive. Not expensive, but it was more pricey to go here from Monterrey directly to Querétaro.
Yeah.
And so tomorrow we plan to be tourists and actually look around the city like real human beings.
Yes, if we can wake up. And if our chauffeur can wake up, because our chauffeur's been working himself way too hard.
Has been up for 40 hours straight.
Yeah.
So he's got to definitely get some rest.
He's made about 500 trips to the airport to pick someone up or drop someone off.
He's got
to
be up early morning tomorrow too. So
yeah.
While we get to sleep in, we have the privilege. But we are on vacation, so we're allowed to, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, the rest of our trip, the weekend, like we already went over it. Tuesday, Crash in Querétaro.
Yeah.
Wednesday, we wanted to go see an IWRG rookie show, but it doesn't sound like that's happening.
Yeah, I haven't seen the lineup today, so I don't think it's happening.
Black Terry Sr. invited us to come train.
Yeah.
And now Calpan. I'm out. But if Cubs wants to go, I'm welcome to go. I'll go film it. We could go to CML Informa, I guess.
No. God, no. You have to give your information to get into there, and I want to hand CML a copy of my ID.
Don't act like that. CML Informa probably has more excitement than that Friday show is going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, we're going to Metepec to see the Crash again. And Friday, of course, our friend Alan is coming to join us.
Yeah.
I should probably find out what time
at
some point. He's coming to join us. We're going to go to Reina, Mexico
to
see a show that looks awful on paper. Yes, I'm going to keep saying that until CML makes some changes.
You're going to Reina, Mexico to shop outside, and then maybe we'll get you to go inside.
See, if you want to see the progression of Rob Bahari, Rob Viper, whatever you want to call me, for the from when we came in 2013 on our first trip, I remember that like Black Terry Jr. was saying, we don't have to go inside yet, it's only going to be the first match, and I was like, fuck no, I want to go see the first match, the undercarders doing cool shit. This Rob now, 4 years later, is like, I just want to shop outside the building, and I don't give a shit about those first two matches. We'll just get in there when the third match begins and take our seats. But it's true. I mean, the first two matches, I can't even remember what the opener. Oh, the opener has Magia Blanca and Templario.
Yeah.
I actually might want to see that. I might go inside, see that, and then come outside. Can we re-enter
right now? I don't know.
I think we have in-and-out privileges.
I think, as strict as they are everything else, I don't think we have in-and-out privileges.
I feel like there should be in-and-out privileges, because I definitely want in-and-out privileges, because the Segunda has, like, a Rudo dream team of, like, Signo, Nitro, and Raziel.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off with that shit. Those three Rudos. Like, who are the poor technicals that are facing?
Sving, Pegaso, and Oro Jr.
Yeah, fuck them. I don't care about those three. Well, Pegaso's okay. The other two, I don't give a shit about. Oro Jr. is, like, really amped for this bodybuilding competition that's coming up later this month.
I've never been so wrong with something about as I was being hyped for Oro Jr. early on.
No, this he's a waste. And I've told him this on Instagram, too, and he agrees. So, he... unlike Flyer. Flyer is my friend, because Flyer you can be honest with and say, like, dude, your match last Tuesday sucked. El Cholo has no business in the ring. And he will actually reply and say, you know what? You're absolutely right. You're very smart.
I don't know why I believe this, but I believe that El Cholo would have an entertaining podcast if he was a U.S. indie worker in the same position.
El Cholo?
El Cholo.
If you say so.
Yes. It's 2 a.m. now. These things make sense to me at 2 a.m.
And if you think that second match is bad, then the women are coming out, and the CML women are terrible. No exceptions except Zeuxis.
We'll leave Murderville. We love Metallica. If they just wrestle, I'm fine.
No. I don't
Reina Isis is better now.
I don't know why you think any of this. Then the fourth match is Niebla Roja versus Stuka, which are technicals because the semi-main event is six Rudos, so CML has to balance it out. God forbid we have any creative booking going on here.
Never Crosses is that match. I didn't see him for a second. It's like, why are we doing this match? And then on some other level, why are we doing this match?
And then the main event is, of course, Ultimo Guerrero. If anybody's getting over, Ultimo Guerrero's got to get involved. So he's teaming with Sansón and Cuartrero.
I believe they've moved to Torreón. Now can be a log of Narrows.
And they're facing Marco, Místico, and Valiente.
Yes.
Which I'm going to assume is going to be a win for the Rudos, because Guerrero's going to want to, you know, get his arms raised with those guys. Mm-hmm. And I think at one point we were hoping that there was an actual CML Crash Alliance, and maybe like somebody would run out from the Crash to get involved here.
Yeah.
Because they don't actually have a show Friday and they're all going to be in Mexico City.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. But I don't see CML being that creative and allowing it.
We were definitely videotaping it if Pentagon starts destroying everybody in that match.
If Pentagon runs in and kicks the shit out of Marco, no offense, Marco, love you, and Sansón and
Quartero, there's absolutely no way Marco's listening to this. But if someone tells Marco about this, we wish them only good things.
It seems like no wrestlers listen to this unless they find out we're talking shit about them. So if we talk shit about Marco,
no,
then he'll lose.
That's like when some fan of theirs listens to this.
Oh, and misinterprets something we said, and
yeah,
this is what they said.
Yeah.
And then they listen and realize we didn't actually say
it. No, they still don't listen. They just kind of get over it.
And actually, the scoop that we can break to you guys is that the Friday after that, I got the date wrong. It's not the 16th, it's the 17th. Is going to be one of those legend shows where a bunch of the 80s guys are going to be back. Some 80s guys you're going to look forward to seeing. Other 80s guys, whose name I won't give away, you're going to be like,
are going to wrestle like they are 80s.
Yes. It's going to be awful, but it's probably going to draw well because they haven't done the nostalgia thing here in a while, right?
Yeah, the last one, it's the same kind of concept they did last year for Independence Day.
Yeah.
So, and probably the same.
My friend Jack was there for that show and said that main event was like the worst thing he's ever seen.
Yeah, because I saw that on streaming later and it was as terrible as thought. I think it was Sonali's debut, too,
yeah,
of the show. So hopefully we'll have something as memorable to happen this time around.
Here's the thing. I never went back to watch that show because we had the excuse of being here. So I'm going to remind you that even though CML streamed today's Sunday show, you do not have to go back and watch it because you're going to be behind.
I think that's the rule, is that I have to watch everything.
No, you don't. And the runtime on that was 1 hour and 49 minutes, so I assume the effort level was A+ as usual from the CML crew.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And then, so Saturday we have Naucalpan, the Crash show, which is probably going to be bonkers. And we were told that Keith Lee is joining the tour after, because he's in Europe this weekend.
Right.
But he is going to come and join the Crash Tour at some point. So I'm really looking forward to Daga versus Keith Lee on that Saturday.
Yeah.
That's one of the matches we're most hyped for. And then Sunday we have XMW, which I'm really excited for because I've always been an XMW fan and I'm dying to see one of their shows. I almost saw one when we came in February, but they ended up not being able to do it. So I'm really excited to go see...
XMW is also a promotion that is on the verge of not being able to do a show at any time.
That's not jinxing.
That's the draw of XMW. They can't be that stable. Otherwise, they wouldn't be XMW.
I know I'm going to get to see people stabbed in the forehead during the main event and bleeding all over the place, but the rest of the show, they have a good tag match with Centurion on it, and Ares is doing a match on that show. Or Ares is in that same match, I think. Mm-hmm. No, he's in a six-man tag on that show. Mm-hmm. Should be a good time. XMW is always a... I think Astrolux might be on that show because the Crash isn't running that day.
Should I actually look at the lineup?
No, that's... I mean, mm-hmm. we'll get to it eventually. We have lots of time. And I think we're planning on doing a podcast tomorrow. If we go to Nuevo Laredo, we'll do it on the way there.
Depends on how much better is my Nintendo Switch. So if I'm playing Mario, I'm just going to let you guys talk.
And we're gonna it's going to have a special guest, a Lucha Libre promoter, mm-hmm. who we've talked about many times, who's been on this podcast before and said a lot of things he might may or may not have gotten in trouble for.
Yeah, Astrolux is in the opener, so...
So the Crash isn't running that night, I don't think.
No.
I'm pretty sure they're not, because they're back at it on the... Wait, where are we? They're back at it on the Monday, and then the Tuesday, and then the tour ends middle of the week, I think.
Yeah, they run Salamanca, Leon, and Tulancingo, and then that's it for a couple weeks.
Yeah, and they're off until they come back at the end of the month with the combined show with DTU.
Yeah. Oh, no, they have a San Luis Potosí show before that, too.
Oh, they have the San Luis Potosí. Okay, so then that, and I know they're running at Ecatepec, and they've got La Parca on the show.
Yeah.
We have no comments on anything else. We haven't seen. Actually, we did. I saw the Rey del Inframundo torneo while I was in the airport waiting to board my flight.
Yeah,
I thought it was excessively long and very hard to watch with the way CML lowered the lights for the show.
Yeah.
But it was a good match. It got better as it went on.
Was it better or worse than Legend than the Plata Cybernetica?
No, I liked the Legend of the Plata better. And I was surprised by the elimination order. They really, like, Místico has never won anything in this company.
Not, I feel like maybe before the injury he won stuff, but since then?
No, not even before the injury he never won shit. He's won nothing. He might have won, like, a Puebla Reyes del Aire or something, but that's about it.
They still protect him on the booking and treat him as a star, but he does. You'd say that he's had less success than Soberano at this point.
Yeah, Soberano outlasted him here. Cuatrero was in there. I mean... He was just another random technical getting eliminated. The funniest part was...
He's won the CML Bodybuilding Contest 2010 Beginner Division.
Good for him. Shit, that was like 2 years before he even showed up.
And it's CML Singer Nueve Tournament 2012.
When he was still Dragon Lee.
Yeah.
So he's won nothing.
The mystical name has definitely cursed him.
Yeah, he's won nothing. The funny part for me was, do you remember who the first technical was that was eliminated in this Rey del Inframundo match?
Wasn't it Valiente?
Yeah, who a year ago when was wrestling
the Universal Champion.
Yeah, he was beating Ultimo Guerrero, and everybody was like, "Oh, this is going to establish him as more of a top." Nothing changes in CMLL. It's like that 1 year they pushed Titan and made him into like the big star, and now he's just another third match.
Oh, they made him from a third match guy to fourth or semi-main guy, and that's what they do. As high as Silverano is now, I would not be surprised at all in 2018 if he does like as much as Titan has done this year.
You're breaking Cult Icon's heart here if he's listening to this.
No, it's...
He likes to think that CML has some logic behind it.
No, it's like the same thing in those IWRG, where they get behind one new guy a year, and then he gets all the big wins, and then he... At least in IWRG, people have a way of disappearing, because they're not getting paid much if they're getting paid
at
all.
That's exactly it, yeah. Hey, we'll push you, and you're happy because it's a good chance. Then you're like, okay, now I'm a star, you gotta pay me money. And they're like... Bye.
No.
Hi, Black Dragon. It's your turn to be Golden Magic.
Yeah. It's Dynamic Black. It's whoever else is that time.
But just to finish up, Soberano and Cuatrero, the final two, when it was just them, was really good. And I was surprised. It was Cuatrero, right? Or was it Sanson?
That's Sanson.
It was Sanson? So
you're asking me about a match I have not seen.
Oh, I thought you saw it. I thought you were watching with us live. Oh, no, you went to AEW.
Yeah.
No, but you got home in time.
I got home in time to see the main event finish.
Oh, that was a short main event,
yeah.
So you just missed it.
I got a replay of the main event. I didn't even get to see it at all.
Well, the main event, I didn't see the main event because I had to get on my flight, but I heard it only went like 6-7 minutes because that Rey del Inframundo, the whole presentation of it went 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Which by CML standards, they try to be really strict with time.
Yeah.
Which if you watch Puebla, where nobody's actually keeping track, you can see Tirantes get agitated when things are going long because
yeah.
he's got to get to wherever Tirantes lives, whatever he does outside the ring.
Yeah. He has to go eat dinner because they eat dinner afterwards, so maybe he was just hungry.
Very good match. I mean, nothing blow away, just entertaining. The whole concept looked like fun from what I was watching, although it was hard to watch, but the live report said it was really cool. And that's all CM Punk cares about. They don't care about the wrestling. They care about the presentation. AAA had something going on Friday, too. Marty the Moth no-showed. Not no-showed, but he had a show.
I was going to sarcastically ask you if you have any AAA thoughts, but I was expecting you to answer.
I have AAA thoughts because they're bringing back Mr. Aguila now.
Yeah. Marty the Moth didn't no-show because the Utah show was the next day, so he just wasn't brought in because AAA is weird. And who knows? Maybe he did have something to do.
So if you're listening to this, Kevin Cross, you know, they're not flying in any foreigners, so don't feel too
bad. Well, they did Hernandez, though.
He must have a weird deal, though, because he's worked other shows in Mexico where, like, you would think they wouldn't be able to fly people in,
but he definitely has some stuff where...
I'm wondering if he like, has access to get to the Juarez side of the border, so he's just, like, a local flight.
Yeah, maybe.
And not an international flight like the other guys. How many advertised matches took place on that Friday?
I did not even count.
I know that...
It was closer than usual, I want to say.
The technical match was advertised, the Aerostar against other technicals.
Yeah, but they changed which technicals were involved because Angelico wasn't there.
Okay, so and then the OGT title match happened as planned.
Yes.
And they did the title switch, which, by the way, you know, if you're listening to this, Vampiro...
No.
Don't do a best-of-five series that ends with a finish that defeats the purpose of the whole point of doing the best of five series. No interference, and then there is interference. And don't have it all build up to a title change where the next show you're taking the titles off the guys who won the best of five. Mm. If you're doing a Vince Russo impression, you're doing a great job, but otherwise you're a fucking idiot.
Well, you know, on the upside, Superfly is champion, which is all I want in my life. And the other thing is that they book OGT as like their best trio anyways, so they might as well be the ones that have the belts,
I guess. You say OGT is the best. You try to convince me Superfly is this amazing talent, but I don't watch AAA to... I don't watch enough AAA to know. I watch some AAA.
But yeah, I think most of the matches happened, or they were at least explained the changes. They did that mystery woman surprise that was supposed to be in the women's match where no one was surprised. They just put Ashley and Astra Terry on the root of the side. They do a lot of stuff with the Yave guys, where not only are they just brought in indiscriminately, but sometimes they're technicals and sometimes they're rudos. It doesn't really make any sense. You can tell they're not... This feels like something that was foisted upon them and not really invested in any of these guys, because they're all treated as a bunch and they're treated as filler instead of having one guy get behind. I think most people... people listening to the podcast probably could remember, but I think most people would even at this point forget who the three people actually won at Triple Mania, because they're not like they're treated any differently than anyone else.
Oh, now you've blown my mind. Hold on. Mm-hmm. I know it was Vikingo, and Angelico.
Angelico.
Oh, and they had to pick women, so they picked Ashley.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, yeah, I wouldn't know. If they didn't have to be a woman, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And
but Valon III is the one who's getting like a mini push to as Hydra's tag partner. So
they're getting behind Lance a lot because he even beat Australian Suicide in a singles match.
Yeah,
the same Australian Suicide who gets booked as a technical on all the house shows or spot shows.
Yeah, and it seems like the urge is a push. I think the problem is that they're doing all these, giving these guys chances who wouldn't get normal chances because they don't have room. But they've gone. They went nowhere with Mosquera the Bronze when they were all said and done. They gave Argus the Ray of the Ring, and he's just kind of been doing about the same stuff he was before.
Yep.
So it's like there's not the follow through on the stuff to make it really care about. But you know,
welcome to AAA.
It's Wagner versus Mundo at some point, probably.
They just did that match.
Yeah, they're probably gonna do the rematch in January, and maybe we'll actually do the title change at that point. It's Rey Scorpion versus Hijo del Fantasma, although I think the way everyone else has evolved will probably be a four-way by the time it happens.
I'm surprised, because I thought Rey Scorpion would want to lose his hair by this point. I mean, we're almost at the end of the year, and he hasn't been shaved.
Yeah, they'll get to it. I'm sure he's coming with Psycho Clown. Maybe that's on the table.
Or maybe Pagano or something.
Yeah.
Because they could do hair versus hair that way.
It's interesting that Pagano doesn't have a program now after being the guy he was focused on so much, but I don't mind it.
Pagano got announced to wrestle Jun Kazai at NGX, which is here in Monterey.
Yeah.
Coming up on December 2nd, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think Kazai is doing two matches. That's one. I'm assuming DTU is the other one.
Yeah, the Violento Jack is facing. He's facing that in DTU.
Oh, that's the DTU match? Okay. Yeah. I didn't remember that one. So Pagano's got his own thing cooking up. Ricky Marvin quit AAA recently.
Yeah.
So he's already gotten announced for some indie shows I've seen.
I saw that Angelico's in the UK this weekend, so
And Helico?
And Helico. So, I don't know if that's why he missed AAA or if something else is going on. Obviously, there seems like something else going on, but there's I don't know what definite to what's going on. I'm sure we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, both people on this podcast can say, without, you know, wanting to hurt anybody's feelings, we hope Angelico leaves, because this is a really talented guy who could do a lot better outside of AAA.
We hope he makes the best decision for himself, but we don't think the decision for himself. It already seems like a situation that Pentagon and other guys went through, where AAA has decided that they are going to leave, even as they try to convince them to stay. Mm-hmm. So they've given up on booking them in anything at all.
Yeah, hasn't Angelico? He's only done that match with Joe Leader, right?
I think he had another match that was cut from TV with.
In Monterey.
Yeah, which, thinking about now, I wonder if Macias was not moving around well again in that match, and that's why they cut it out. But
Macias went under double knee surgery. So that seems like a quick turnaround if they said he's going to be ready by early 2018.
They said early months of 2018, which gives them, you know, they could give him to March, and that's still could count. And it could be AAA.
I think he's actually already been announced as coming to WrestleCon.
Yeah.
But as Mil Muertes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if he's just doing an autograph signing, he doesn't really need to be have working knees.
He really should be doing, like, two-minute squashes, even, and you don't really need the knees to do it. That was my problem with the World Cup, is that the vampire...
That was your problem?
That was the problem with that match, is that it was a Ricky Banderas match where they should have done the Mil Muertes match, but...
Yeah. You just brought up something I was going to mention. What did you say right before the World Cup? I don't know, we were talking about Mil Muertes, double knee surgery. That they didn't air they didn't air the Leader Macias Pagano match.
Yes. And they aired the Llave, the Gloria.
The dark match.
Yeah, that true. Match.
Yeah. The one with the people who didn't make it onto the main show title match.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't air it, because I don't know if you looked it up, most of the three-way main event on handheld, because I thought it was funny how Macias kept going at the crowd and there was no security and they kept giving him the finger and they did a fire spot. Basically the same shit that got them kicked off UK TV. AAA decided, let's do it again. Who cares?
The thing that got kicked off UK TV is the UK TV being stupid enough to schedule them at that time.
That's true.
Without knowing what was on that show. Or even if they knew what was on that show, that was really
Which is still an all-time funny letter. Like, at minute 2:46... Mm-hmm. Psycho Clown picks up a knife and threatens to cut this guy's head. It's like, whoa. So I'm all out of topics. I mean, we covered everything.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we can just talk about what it's like to be a promoter with Alfredo. Because we won't have any show to review. It's going to be too late. Probably the next time we do a review is going to be of if we go to the Crash tomorrow. Yeah. We'll do Nuevo Laredo after we do Querétaro. Because we're going to not have that much time before the Querétaro show, I think.
Yeah, unless we're doing stuff sitting in the bus, which I don't think everyone else on the bus would appreciate.
Right. We were invited to take a ride with the Crash people, but I don't think that would be appropriate.
No.
But
it would also be a bad place to do a podcast.
Yeah, I can imagine everybody listening. It's a good idea for Conan, though. Yeah. Conan should definitely do his podcast while he's on the Crash tour bus.
Yeah, I would expect that there should be some content coming to his Patreon video-wise. And not necessarily the matches, but of, you know, backstage stuff or tour stuff.
Well, he's not on this portion of the tour, but somebody might be filming for him.
Yeah.
Eventually
he'll be on, and eventually he'll film stuff.
Yeah, I'm hoping that some of these matches end up in video, because I was only filming certain clips. Cubs wasn't recording full matches.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll try at some point. I might try, because now with my great phone that has full battery, I might try to record a full match. Might try maybe the Doug and Keith Lee match.
Yeah, we'll see.
Something where it can be, I know it's not going to go 10,000 hours, where it's going to take up all my space, but we'll see. So thank you for listening. Leave any feedback if you haven't.
I'd like to send a shout out to hashtag Team Blue. I've been a big supporter for a long time. It's glad to know that they're supporting me.
What is Team Blue?
You're the only person that doesn't get that reference, and I'm going to keep it that way because it's funny. I got nothing else. We will.
Oh, I should show off at the. I got a shout out at the Crash show. Were you there for that, or were you not sitting there when?
I was not sitting there.
He got in the ring and he said, "And Rob Viper is
Roberto."
Here. No, he said Rob Viper.
No, he's Roberto.
Roberto said that. He said, "Rob Viper is here." And if you think that I'm sick of Lucha, this guy watches more Lucha than me or something like that. So that was really cool.
So it was a good time. We will be back sooner at some point. And thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.